I'm Bill Zortman, and this is It's Your Agribusiness Show. It's 668 in our original It's Your Business series. In our show today, we're going to visit with an Edgerton second-generation farmer, maybe fourth generation, one of five in the screening of farmland appearing nationwide, and another showing is scheduled this week on the 15th. Lucas Lynch and Secretary, of course, of Agriculture Lynch, and then Barry Dunn, who is the dean at SDSU, the governor, and a number of others making the China trip, talking about South Dakota. While he's gone, Deputy Trudy Wasweet will join us talking about the governor's agricultural summit that's coming up in just a few weeks. Rick Shields, Midwest Communication Farm Director, will join us with what's trending and being talked over the farm fence as well. The Starks, they're in the house, sponsors the iGrow.org website, and they'll talk to us about what's important and maybe even what I think is important, believe it or not. Roger DeRoshi, Plains Commerce Bank, part of the Plains statewide plan, and their Mitchell location share cropping alternatives and the crop spreadsheets that Plains has available. Scott Verilek, Coima Kamig, will update the USDA grain report and commodities. Jobs are a big part as well, and Dakota Construction has a job fair that might attract some of you or some of those people counting town and country this weekend. But we start with Ryan. Ryan, I've been waiting to talk to you for a long time.
Oh, that's good to hear.
Ryan Veldhuizen is one of the five or six farmers to do something about the image of the farm industry in 2013, I believe it was. Your family was named the Pork Family of the Year in Minnesota, four-generation farm involved since 1911. And today, if my notes are correct, Ryan, and feel free to correct me, everybody else on the show does, you might as well just join right in. Chris and Claire Veldhuizen, your older sister, Melissa Prouty, and other sister, Krista Bose, and a younger brother, Christian J. Elliott, are all in the midst of doing something about farming. I guess that would qualify you guys as farmers.
Yeah, that's correct. We are, like you said, we are fourth-generation farm, and I do farm with my siblings here. But I must say that Christian J., he prefers to go by CJ.
CJ, well.
Yes.
In 2014, CJ would work. Makes sense to me. Film crews came to your farm in 2013 showing what you did in everyday life. What kind of an experience was that to know that you were going to be seen 115 different locations just to start with?
I think when we started out with this, we didn't quite realize the gravity of what was going on and how many locations and who all would be seeing this. So when Allentown Productions initially got a hold of us, we were quite apprehensive to have cameras running around with us. And until we got to know the guys and the team, really great guys, we started having a lot of fun.
You know, some of the early stories, they've managed this very well, the folks out of Chesterfield, Missouri, as to what was said, how it was said, a little drama to it, what you were going to say when you finally got on screen. For those that haven't seen what has been said and may wind up buying the flick or coming on May 15th, put in essence, if you will, what you did say.
Well, ultimately, you know, the USFRA is doing a really good job with this. And also, they had to walk a fine line when this initially started, because one of the stipulations James had before he would even make this work is he was going to do it the way he wanted to do it, and he wanted to make sure he did it to the best of his ability and show the accurate story. And so, like I said earlier, the USFRA had to walk a fine line between giving us a heads up and telling us what we needed to know and not telling us too much to where we got too smooth or changed how we sounded. And so ultimately what was said in there is exactly how we feel in our own words.
So do you figure, having seen it, and you saw the first time, I think, in a film festival in New York City, that they have depicted what should be said about farms as the torch is being passed?
Absolutely. I think James did a fantastic job. I just can't say enough about the work he's done. And I feel very proud to be part of this, because he said, in my opinion, he's allowed us to say what we need to say without saying too much and without getting in a yelling match.
Interesting scenario. We're talking this morning with Ryan Veldhuizen, one of the six U.S. farmers that on the big screen, and of course his family, the 2013 Pork Family of the Year in Minnesota. One of the things that I did notice is that with your operation, you pretty much go from sow to the finish, roughly 30,000 hogs annually, as many as 14,000 on at any given time. You raise corn, wheat, soybeans, and you have a plan. Plus, the folks at SDSU will be happy to know that you promote your degree up there, the general agricultural degree, in 2010.
Yes, I do. I did do my time at South Dakota State and learned a lot there. You know, professors up there are really good. They've got some really good programs. I got to get that shout in there. They do an excellent job of educating, but nothing really prepares you for farm life and actually working here, like growing up here, and the generational repetition that I feel honored to have.
The people that have seen the film, what is their reaction to what you said, what the others have said, and maybe what else needs to be said?
So of the people that I've talked to, your ag audience is very grateful that we were willing to stick our neck out and make our voice heard in a very reasonable manner. The non-ag population usually walks out with a sense of awe and amazement, not quite realizing what all goes into it. And they feel that this kind of gives them a glimpse of that and usually causes them to start asking questions, which is exactly the goal we wanted. We wanted the viewer, the audience, to start asking questions that need to be asked.
You have been quoted as saying that we're in the glory days of agriculture and in it for life with all the rewards and risks. There are a lot of both.
Yeah, absolutely. And I feel very strongly that we're going to have a hard time sustaining this kind of glamour we have in agriculture right now. Commodity prices are good. Livestock prices are good. We've got excellent machinery to work with all the time. Unfortunately, there's various regulations that seem to be coming along that are going to kind of put a block to that and make it difficult for farmers to be stewards in the best way they see in their own application. Also, it appears like our tax structure is adjusting a little bit, and given the nature of agriculture and the need for multiple families to be involved in one operation, this seems to be getting a little more difficult. But I feel it's stuff we can manage, and with proper political representation, I feel that we can still work with it.
Hi, Ryan. This is Roger Starks. It's interesting to see that you have two sisters and so on. Don't you think that in the agriculture business, we're going to see a lot of changes where more and more women are involved in agriculture, and not just as a wife or a partner? They truly are a partner, where they are a decision maker and a participant. And that's one of the interesting things to me, is how many females have gotten into this whole spectrum of agriculture and how it may change agriculture a lot. Instead of, like I said, being the wife and preparing lunches, all of a sudden they're the key decision maker, and they've got all kinds of education and all kinds of so on. But don't you see women becoming more and more of a participant in production ag?
Oh, absolutely. I couldn't agree more. And in fact, I saw some stats the other day, and I can't remember where they came from, and I can't remember them real well off the top of my head, but I think women are coming into agriculture 2-to-1 to men. I mean, it's rapidly growing, and I think that's fantastic. Women provide a completely different set of business eyes than men do. Currently, men are doing, you know, they typically work out in the field a lot, and now women are able to bring a, a business sense, a less emotional business attitude into it. And, you know, I can speak from experience here that my sisters are really making this farm go from a management standpoint.
Interesting side of that. Ryan Veldhuizen, one of those that star in Farmland, again, going to be shown this Thursday night, I think the 15th, right, Ryan?
Yes, that's correct.
All right. Well, keep us posted as this goes along. You know, you may wind up on Survivor. You might wind up in a lot of different shows. This may be a great career to add to the 30,000 hogs that you have each year.
I tell you what, I feel like I'm a survivor on a daily basis here.
I think you're exactly right. We appreciate you taking time to visit with us. You're welcome to join us anytime on It's Your Agribusiness.
All right. Thank you.
You bet. Rick Shields is our Midwest Communication Farm Director, and Rick will call back in just a minute. But we have the Stark boys here, and as we wait for Rick to get back with us in just a second, when you heard Ryan talk this morning, new generation, do you think he represents the generation we're talking about that need to pick up the torch?
Absolutely. And you know, he spoke to it a little bit, talking about the male-female roles in agriculture. But to have a younger set of eyes, maybe a more current education basis, more embraced in the technology and the networking and everything that's gone involved in that younger generation is going to bring a whole new spin to this world. And it's exciting. It's fast-paced. It's ag this generation. It's pretty cool.
He answered the question about women. You see that all the time, too, don't you?
Oh, heavens. I think ladies are going to enter this business from top to bottom, and it's going to be a huge change. Again, I think their place is going to be documented as very important. And one of the interesting things he said is, you know, about commodity prices up and down. But here's the interesting deal. He's in a need business, and the need businesses, to me, really outweigh the non-functional businesses. You know, he's in a need even greater than the auto people, because people have to eat, and that's really what agriculture does, is does two things. It provides energy and provides food, and those are two things that we're a slave to from whoever we are. I mean, in the north, it's for heat in the winter. In the south, it's for cool in the summer and so on. But as far as energy, but food is huge. And I think farming is on the edge of seeing new people enter the agriculture business that's going to change farming, where people understand that they hold people's lives in their hands. And I think prices are going to just continue to climb, and people in agriculture are going to do well.
This company that has pulled this together wanted to make sure that it was shown to consumers, not just farmers, this movie, mm-hmm. Much like when they had the concert with the Dairy Association, when we were talking with them. It was important that they talk to the choir, but it was important to them that they talk to the consumer, and I think from what I'm hearing, the five or six that they picked from around the country pretty much do that.
Yeah. And to piggyback a little bit on what Roger was talking about, what Ryan hit on is, again, this is a need industry. And the danger that we have is you have people who don't get involved in the regulation rules of that industry, and they just continue to do their own thing. Before you know it, you have the government stepping in, and you have less individuality and more large corporations coming in, taking away this livelihood from the people. So to have an instrument like this movie out to the public where people can watch this and get a view from that family farm, it ignites the excitement and hopefully gets younger people involved in governing and in speaking to their legislators to make sure that this doesn't become something of a large, a big box industry where it could, you know, you lose the individuality, and we kind of lose control of our state.
You know, look at what happens with people. It's interesting about how gardening is starting to become such a big deal to people, and people like to see things grow, and then people want to see how this works. And, you know, people like Travis just said, is everybody thinks everything's a production deal. Well, you know, this is a family thing and a pride issue, and we want to do the best we can and whatever, and And God bless Ryan and his family for making all the money they can make. But I didn't hear that in his voice. I heard it that he wanted to do this because this is the job that he always wanted.
And stewards of the land. Yep. I mean, that is key in this industry.
Yep. And he just gave you the right answer without seeing the movie. I mean, you can hear it in his voice that
he's believable.
Yeah, absolutely. This is a family deal, and that's what you want.
Holt University.
We got all kinds of things going on. We just had a couple of issues last week, a succession issue. About
succession planning and continuation of your business along with the health care, more in the lines of the agriculture. We've got misapplication and stuff that is a key topic right now that we're kind of fitting into other Hualt University classes and conversations that we have while we're on the road with clients and prospects.
All right. You guys have been good enough to come in today. Of course, it's not the best day to travel.
So. Oh, we're going to Rock Valley, Iowa. So
nice place to go.
Absolutely.
Yes. Yep. We can hear the
we got the Batmobile fired up.
Yeah. We do. How do they reach you guys?
Give us a call, 605-339-3874. Go on the website, holmcdowell.com, or kick up the Batman signal.
There you go.
That's us.
Roger, Travis. Of course, they had all the news, and they had even a chance to talk to Ryan this morning.
I feel honored.
Appreciate the opportunity.
Glad to do that.
Thanks.
Rick Shields is our Midwest Communication Farm Director. Rick, good morning to you, my friend.
Good morning, Bill.
Well, a number of key businesses in the state, the governor, and many of those with ag and business, third trip to China. Are these kind of trips worthwhile?
Well, you know, I really think a lot of it kind of comes down to what we've been talking about this morning. People around the world's, you know, idea, as well as in this country, of who an American really is. Now, it's easy for many folks other places to get the impression an American is from, say, like, L.A. or New York. Huh? Maybe a fine person, but without any personal connection to agriculture. We see that in our own country. You know, I'd travel out of state when I lived in Illinois, and people would say, after they saw my car's plates, what part of Chicago are you from? Huh? So to see somebody, say, from South Dakota, and see them several times, just underscores the fact that they're more than, you know, kind of marginally associated with ag. And it sets the state apart as a major player in this country's ag industry. And you ask somebody in China where to find the state on the map, they still may or may not struggle a bit, but they've heard the name, and they've heard it in a positive sense, you know. Like, ask him to find Detroit on a map, he may be able to right away, but, is it going to be a positive impression of the place these days? You know, that kind of depends on who's been to see him, and especially if that person's, you know, been trying to make a positive change in things.
There were some projections that came out midday on Friday, plus there's some other important ag news. Fill us in.
Yeah, less corn acreage, bigger yields. The headline there, forecast just over 165 bushels per acre for corn, and planted acreage is going to be down just under 4%, they're thinking now, from a year ago. Corn price down about 10% below the current year. Record crop expected, though, you know, last time we heard, that's a week ago. We'll get an update this afternoon, but then it was 29% in the ground, and 5-year average would be around 40% at this time. But they still think it's going to come through just fine. Soybeans, 3.63 is the number I see here, 3.63 billion bushels. And an average yield across the country for the beans, a little over 45 bushels to the acre.
Rick Shields, our Midwest Communication Farm Director, thanks for taking time to be with us.
Oh, as always, have a great week.
Same to you, Rick. Roger DeRoshi, Plains Commerce Bank over in Mitchell. Good morning to you, Roger.
Good morning, Bill.
Crop alternatives, crop spreadsheets, something Plains Commerce has a plan for.
Yeah, that's exactly right. When I was working at Mitchell Tech, the farm management group developed some electronic spreadsheets for the crop producers, and we have them available to us at Plains Commerce Bank because South Dakota corn utilization and the soybean people, South Dakota Wheat Commission, and South Dakota pork producers gave some grant money to Mitchell Tech to develop those electronic spreadsheets, and they are available on the Mitchell Tech website, but if they would like to call us, we'd be glad to share them with people.
You know, we've had a chance this morning to visit with Ryan Veldhuizen, part of the movie Farmland. Second-generation farmers, pretty much a key part of our conversation today. As you said, at Mitchell Tech, you've dealt in education, and now you meet with the farm clients. What seems to be trending kind of questions that the young people have about the farming industry?
Well, Luke and I have been visiting with people over here, and it's obviously that there's a transition of the land to the next generation. And I'd like to just kind of put a little spot in for my brother farming up at Hoven. They were fortunate enough to have four children up there, but three were daughters and one was a son, and the son has a very successful career in the Aberdeen area, so the next generation is going to be taken over by my niece, and that'll be the fourth generation on the farm up at Hoven.
Well, and that was part of the discussion we had earlier, that pretty much women are now involved, more than just being wives. A lot of times the men are doing other things that you just mentioned, Roger, and that would certainly be the case in Mitchell and all those areas that Plains Commerce serves across our great state.
That's exactly right. It doesn't matter if it's a male or a female. We've got financing available to farm producers and people who want to buy a house and people who want to do business on the commercial side. But we're very fortunate in this Mitchell area. We got either side of a half inch of rain yesterday and today, and it's raining a little bit now, so that's tremendous for our producers, and we're very welcome for that rain.
All right, Roger, we appreciate it. Plains Commerce, how do they reach them online and by phone?
You betcha. In Mitchell here, we can listeners can call us at 996-1102 and go online to plainscommerce.com, and we have locations. The people over in Sioux Falls can visit with Rocky Boar in Sioux Falls or other Plains Commerce locations in Aberdeen, Condi, Hoven, Mitchell, Sioux Falls, and Watertown. Easiest to go online at plainscommerce.com and then visit with the people and get phone numbers and make a direct call.
Roger, good work over there. Hope you get enough rain, but don't get washed away.
Exactly, and Luke and I welcome the opportunity to visit with you people on the radio.
You guys do good work. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
When we come back, we're going to talk about the livestock business through the eyes of the Ag CEO program at SDSU, talk about the Governor's Ag Summit, check in with the morning numbers, the morning commodities, and maybe a place to find a job, all a part of It's Your Agribusiness. Mentioned livestock business manager field specialist joining us. And Shannon, let's talk about the Ag CEO program.
Definitely, definitely. The Ag CEO program is a program for beginning farmers and ranchers, really to kind of get them off on a good foot, so to speak. It focuses on bringing, I like to think of it as focusing on bringing the big picture all together. We focus mainly on risk management, farm financials, and just kind of how to better prepare yourself and create projections so you know where you're going down that road.
All right, so the program we're talking about mm-hmm. online, it's going to be in person. How does this all come together?
This is a face-to-face program. Some of these topics are just, at least to me, much easier to present in person than it is over the Internet. It's a face-to-face program consisting of four classes that are 3 hours each, so about 12 hours altogether.
And the target, obviously, is those beginning farmers and ranchers, but maybe producers who are interested in attending as well.
Oh, definitely, definitely. It is targeted at beginning farmers and ranchers, but anyone who wants to can attend, so.
Program that we're talking about, do they walk away with plenty of information, some inspiration, just some direction that maybe they want to go or should go?
I would say all of the above. Basically, what we have them do is we have them start out setting their own personal goals, whether that's they want to grow their business by 5% every year, they may want to take a vacation. You know, everybody's goals is different. And so by the end of the program, they actually have a physical written plan that they can follow and, you know, go back and change as they need to. So,
Shannon Sand, SDSU Extension Livestock Business Management Field Specialist. Could we get you a longer title?
They might be able to make that, to be honest. I don't know. But it does take up all the space on the name tag.
Yeah, I don't think you can do it in a regular business card. And the Ag CEO program is important. Will you kind of keep us posted as to how this goes and maybe bring somebody on the next time that's been through the program?
Definitely, definitely. I can do that.
You do good work, Shannon. And I'm not going to give the title again because it's only an hour show.
That's fine. I understand.
You have a great day.
You too. Bye-bye.
The Governor's Agriculture Summit is scheduled at the end of June, but we thought maybe we should get you thinking about attending. Trudy Wasweet, Deputy Ag Secretary, joins us this morning. Trudy, good morning to you.
Good morning.
You know, the program is June 26th and 27th. It's not that far away.
Yeah, that's absolutely right, Bill. The end of June and the Governor's annual agricultural summit will be here before we know it.
What's the importance of this conference? And tell people where it is and how they might attend.
Certainly. Well, do mark your calendars. June 26th and 27th, we'll be hosting this year's annual Governor's Ag Summit out in Deadwood at the Lodge at Deadwood. So a very scenic location for folks to head out west and come into the scenic Black Hills for some time. You know, it's really a fellowship opportunity with your fellow producers and ag business leaders, but it's really an opportunity for some real thought-leading discussion on key issues impacting the state of agriculture here in South Dakota, from transportation, infrastructure questions about making strategic investments in our roads and rail systems, and you know, everything over as well into environmental issues, regulatory challenges that agriculture faces, and a lot of other conversations to be had. So we certainly hope folks make time to come out to Deadwood for it. Find more information about registration for the event at our website, sdagsummit.com, where they can register at no cost to attend the program and see more specific details on the schedule.
Of course, Lucas and Trudy and the Governor would all be good people to come and see and just to talk with your neighbors out there in South Dakota. But you also have an undersecretary that is attending and actually talking.
We certainly do. We're glad to welcome back once more to South Dakota Undersecretary Michael Skuse from the U.S. Department of Agriculture. Mr. Skuse serves in the Farm and Foreign Agricultural Services Division. And folks actually may recognize, especially Undersecretary Skuse, for the numerous appearances he has made out here in South Dakota visiting ranchers impacted by the blizzard last fall. He's really seen firsthand the losses that our ranchers experienced, and was a very vocal advocate that with the new farm bill, some of those programs needed to be expedited to help out South Dakota. And so we're glad to have Michael Skuse coming out. He'll be talking more about farm bill implementation. There's certainly a lot already underway with implementation of the farm bill, but there's still choices to be made as producers look at the commodity programs that are going to be rolled out by this fall, conservation program changes that are part of the new bill. So a real interesting conversation with Undersecretary Michael Skuse.
Trudy Wasweet, Deputy Ag Secretary, Governor, and a lot of dignitaries and businesses in China for a trip that covers a week, 9 days, whatever it is. What's the hope for the visit?
You know, China is the world's largest consumer economy, and you know, South Dakota certainly wants to be part of that opportunity to share the goods and services that we provide from the great state of South Dakota. This is the third trip we're making over there on a trade mission with China, and you know, we're going back because the Chinese economy is built on relationships, and when we can send businesses from South Dakota with our elected officials, that's a format that really opens doors as those relationships get built, and you know, business arrangements can be made for our South Dakota businesses. So we're excited to help companies open some doors, get the deals made, so that we can share great South Dakota products with the Chinese consumer.
Not a bad thought. Trudy, we appreciate you doing work. And one of the topics this morning was women and doing all the things they do in agriculture. Guess what? You're one of those that does that.
Well, I'm doing the best I can, Bill.
You do a great job. Trudy, we appreciate you joining us on It's Your Agribusiness.
Thank you very much. Have a great day.
You bet. When we come back, we're going to talk the morning loan snapshot, talk commodities, and we'll talk jobs, and maybe even check in with Matt Knipling, who's up there running the ship at South Dakota State University. Listen to Ryan Veldhuizen, who is in the movie Farmland from nearby Edgerton, Minnesota, raising 30,000 head of hogs a year, four or five generations of farm. A big deal with that as well. Scott Verilek will be joining us with commodities, but Craig Marquardt at Vanna Mortgage has the loan snapshot of the day. Craig, good morning to you.
Good morning, Bill.
You know, it's the first week of the Parade of Homes. What kind of feedback are you hearing?
Well, I've only had a few phone calls this morning, Bill, but it sounds like there were plenty of people out yesterday afternoon, and there were several houses that were being shown that have already had offers made on them, so I guess there's got to be some type of activity going on out there.
Supply and demand. If you find something, you better make a call to Advanta and see what you can line up as far as financing.
I think that you'd agree with me that that 175 to 225 range is a pretty strong price range for sellers, isn't it?
I think it is, too. And with the supply having jumped a little bit from 4.4 to 4.8 months, it made a difference in what we talked about in our first hour. Oh. So what's the loan showing this morning, the loan snapshot?
Well, the mortgage market has stayed steady from where it was last week. And I've done a little research to find out why the interest rates had improved over the previous weeks. And I found out that Yellen's testimony with the Federal Reserve, she was kind of skeptical as to whether or not the economy was moving along as quickly as what she had anticipated, and she believes that the housing market is slightly soft across the country. But, of course, we don't see that over here in Sioux Falls, but we get to take advantage of lower interest rates, though. And so the conventional Fannie Mae 30-year fixed rate is holding steady at 4.250%. with an APR of 4.443% this morning.
18.7 and one size doesn't fit all?
Well, we always have an on-call mortgage banker, so they can call 275-2777. And folks can speak with Sean this week if it's after hours, and they can get an application put together with him. He can answer any questions that they have regarding payments or terms of loans. And everybody has to remember that rates are always subject to change based on the current market conditions as well as the specific loan program and individual borrowers' details.
Senior Loan Officer at Vanna Mortgage, Craig Marquardt. Mortgage bankers you can count on.
Thanks, Bill.
You have a good week.
You too.
Scott Verilek, Coima K-Mig Commodities, joins us. Scott, good morning. Some interesting weather your direction last night.
Yeah, certainly was, Bill. Got to spend a little bit of the evening in the basement with my wife and kids, and my two-year-old son opening some of his birthday presents in the basement bathroom. Kind of a memory we won't forget.
Well, you survived that. Today, one of the topics that we'll be looking for is corn had a large world stocks number.
Yeah, that seems to be the number that's jumping out at everybody. I'm kind of surprised, you know. We're kind of trading lower again, a gap lower, and kind of broke the uptrend line today. So we got some chart damage, and everybody's talking about these world stocks, but the U.S. ending stocks was not a bearish number. You know, we originally thought we were going to be over 2 billion bushels on corn, you know, starting last fall with our large crop. And every single report keeps getting smaller, 1.8, then 1.6. We're all the way down to 1.1 to where we actually could be using quite a bit of this corn up by this fall. So demand must be pretty, you know, pretty decent at these levels. So that's the number I kind of looked at more than the world stocks. But I guess the market's going to win on this one.
Cash hogs still on the lower side.
Yeah, the front months continue to drop a little bit. June was the month that made the record highs up over 130, and PED certainly made a big story that June was going to be the tightest month. Well, June has kind of flipped to where it's all the way down to 118 now, and July is up to 124. The bulls that are saying there's a big hole are still trying to hang in there, but now they're trying to keep the Julys and the August up, saying the hole's going to be a little further back. You know, every week we go ahead, there's still hogs. We're still killing a lot of hogs, and they're still available, so no hole you know, nearby yet, and they're saying maybe it's further out. So the fronts are really getting hit hard.
Cattle?
Cattle are up pretty good. We're coming into some you know, more numbers this time of year, but everybody's talking about heifer retention. You know, these feeder cattle just keep making record highs, and they're high in the sale barn. Where it's time to rebuild that cow herd, and guys have to keep some heifers back. There's a lot of moisture out west. Well, it just kind of starts the domino effect. You pull all those heifers and keep them for the cow herd. Those heifers normally are going to the feed yard. It's just that many numbers you're taking out of the feed yards, making a tighter supply. There's less beef out there. It's going to be a couple years of pretty strong beef prices.
All right, Ted, you have your commodity report coming up at 11:30, but we know people are going to have questions about what you're raising issues on this morning.
Yeah, most people just give us a call at Coy McCamick and Sioux Center. Toll-free number, 1-800-358-3047. Thanks, Bill.
Scott Verilek, Coy McCamick. We know there is a low unemployment rate in the Dakotas compared to other states, and following a tour of North Dakota, the Dakota Construction Careers Campaign was launched in Pierre and Rapid City over the weekend, this Friday and Saturday. It's Aberdeen and Sioux Falls. Rob Lear joins us this morning. Rob, good morning.
Good morning. Actually, I'm Will Thompson.
Oh, my goodness. You don't even sound like Will.
No, but you sound like a Bill.
Thank you, I think.
Well, we share the same name, William, you know. It's got to be the greatest name in the universe, right?
Will Call. I like that. It appears that you guys are looking for motivated workers eager to learn trade and pretty much start a new career.
Absolutely. It is for a career. We do have training opportunities for people if they're looking for a change, you know, with great benefits to go along with it, which would be a retirement as well as insurance for themselves and they have a family on their family as well.
Now, as I understand my notes, and Will, I didn't even get to Rob right this morning, and I got you, so.
That's fine. I'm from Sioux Falls here.
That works, but the meetings are set up at the Clubhouse Hotel in the suite, 4 to 8 on Friday, 10 to 5 on Saturday, and they can go to DakotaConstructionCareers.com for more information?
Correct.
So, if you were looking for the perfect candidate, the perfect person to fill the job, how would you describe them?
Well, a person that is obviously motivated, that can get to work on time every day, and like to build, I guess, build stuff is the biggest thing, is what we provide. You know, that's, we build America, I guess, is that. And if you're a little short on building and such like that, that's why we have an apprenticeship program that goes along with it. We work with contractors. They get good, skilled construction workers.
Now,
earn while they learn, so they don't get, as say, the higher dollar. They ended up coming in at a lower price, but they still get the same great benefits.
All right. Pierre and Rapid City over this last weekend, North Dakota before, what was the feedback you heard, the kind of questions you were getting?
Well, what we're getting, you know, what are the benefits, and everybody's a little bit different. We have, everybody has their own plan, if you would. So, like we say, we were a bunch of construction engineers of what I represent anyway, operators, but we have painters and iron workers and carpenters and bricklayers that they all have their respective contracts, and they go from there. I mean, they just want to know what the benefit is there of being a construction worker. So,
again, it's this Friday and Saturday, 4 to 8 on Friday, 10 to 5 on Saturday, and it is at the Clubhouse Hotel and Suites.
Yes.
And again, you, as I understand it, bricklayers, carpenters, cement masons, plasterers, iron workers, operating engineer, painters as well.
Absolutely. Just come on down and check us out.
All right. We'll talk with you guys again on Friday, get an update. And if people have questions, we'll send you to DakotaConstructionCareers.com. Will, I appreciate you taking time. You sound better than Rob anyway.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
Have
a great day.
You betcha, same to you. When we come back, we'll check Todd Newberger and maybe a little lunch, see if we can fit Matt in, all a part of It's Your Business. He helped us put all this stuff together today. What is trending at iGrow?
Well, you know what? This week on iGrow.org, just a few of the articles and events that we have coming up. We're talking about implanting calves and how that translates into money in the bank. Now that college is let out for the summer, some of the students are going to start thinking about their student loans, unfortunately. We have some free tools for their student loan repayments. A couple of the events are we have the Tri-County Ag Day, May 27th, up at the Cottonwood Field Stations. The National Safe Tractor and Machinery Operator Program happening out in Rapid City on May 22nd. The Youth Dairy Cattle Judging School at going to be going on at the SDSU regional centers all around the state, and those are going to be going on May 22nd. And as always, you know, just check on iGrow.org because we're always putting new information up there.
Well, you know, while Barry Dunn and some of those folks around the state are away, we know we're in good hands at iGrow.org with Matt Knipling.
Thank you very much.
All right. We want to see what one hand is telling the other hand with Todd Neuberger, Edward Jones, Main Street, and Wall Street. Todd, good morning.
Morning, Bill. Happy Monday.
You bet.
Morning, everyone. Todd Neuberger of Edward Jones bringing you the daily financial market report. Stocks are gaining as investors continue to analyze corporate earnings data and merger activity is increased. Confidence in the strength of the economy. Drug company McKesson is among the companies that will report earnings today, while retailers including Macy's and Kohl's are scheduled to release their results later this week. In some other corporate news, Hillshire Brands announced it'll buy Pinnacle Foods for $6.6 billion, including debt, cash, and stock. And that company sells everything from salami to baking supplies. So far this morning in the S&P 500, the best performing sector is technology. The worst performing sector is utilities. The Dow Jones Industrial Average is up 100 points at 16,682. The S&P 500 index is up 12 at 1,891. And the NASDAQ is up 60 at 4,132. Volume on the New York Exchange has traded about 166 million shares. Advancers are outnumbering decliners by a very large margin. In commodity markets, gold is up $10 at $1,298, silver up 43 cents at $19.60, and crude oil prices are at about $100 per barrel. In some stocks of local interest, Daktronix is up 34 cents at $14.27, Citigroup up 21 cents at $47.20, Raven up 81 cents at $31, Summit Hotel Properties up 5 cents at $9.29. And Meta Financial Bank is up 57 cents this morning at $37.90. This is Todd Neuberger of Edward Jones, a member of the SIPC, serving individual investors with personalized attention, long-term financial advice in Sioux Falls, bringing you this Wall Street to Main Street report, Bill.
You did that so well, and you never had to take a breath through the whole thing.
Oh, I did, but we made it on a Monday.
There you go. And people will need more information. How do they reach you, Todd?
Yeah, locally, 371-0375 or at todd.neuberger@edwardjones.com or stop on by at the office. We're in all week.
Makes sense. I'll come by and have coffee one of these days. It's been a while.
Good, Bill.
Todd Neuberger, Edward Jones. Senior Day at Valentino's, 41st and Willow. John, we talked to you in the first hour about Mother's Day, but that was yesterday. Today it's Senior Day.
It sure is. Seniors 55 and older get 10% off the buffet all day here today at Valentino's, and it's nice and chilly outside, so we still continue with our three soups, our tomato bisque, our corn chowder, and our chicken noodle.
So which one of the three is the biggest server?
Corn chowder, followed by the chicken noodle.
Well, I'm surprised that we haven't got some tomato lovers in this community.
Oh, we do have a lot of tomato lovers, and matter of fact, when it warms up, that's the first thing they're going to be unhappy about is we don't have the tomato discount. So.
That's going to be my question, I will tell you. Don't take it away. Pasta, lasagna, pizza, just close your eyes.
Yep, just close your eyes. You'll taste the difference here because of the quality of the product we use. Our sauces are next to none, and then the amount of ingredients that we put on our product, our pizzas, to where you're going to taste of each ingredient in every bite.
All right, we're in our last few seconds. Tell Joy I did mention the word salad,
Yep, I sure will.
But I mentioned dessert twice.
Yeah.
For now, our time's up. We thank you for yours.
Hello, News Talk 13.